Okay, I a couple years ago came here and talked. I'm Linda Hoffman. I'm Mark Hoffman's wife. And a couple years ago, I came and talked about how women think. And it was called Navigating the Minefield. Anybody here for that one? Okay, this is a little different. So this is what women want. And this is actually what Foothills women said to me a number of years back. Because we all need and want each other, and we frustrate each other very much. Just so I know, how many of you are single? Raise your hand real quick. Okay, keep your hand up if you're in a relationship right now. Okay, you are not. I meant single, but in a relationship. Okay. How many of you are married? How many of you want to stay in that relationship? Okay, I'm here to help you guys out on all of these things. But we do frustrate each other, and we don't think alike. And you only have to be in a relationship for about 3 months where you go, what just happened? What just happened? So there was a class where a college professor who taught Spanish was telling everyone that every noun in Spanish has a masculine or feminine article. So they said, she divided them into men and women, and she said, let's see what you think. What do you think a computer is, male or female? So divided them, and this is what the men said. If we could put it up there. It said, men said they were female because no one but their creator understands their internal logic, that the native language they use to communicate with other computers is incomprehensible to everyone else, that even the smallest mistakes are stored for long-term memory for possible later retrieval, and that as soon as you make a commitment to one, you find yourself spending half your paycheck on accessories for it. The women, however, said that the computers were male, and they said that in order to do anything with them, you have to turn them on, that they have a lot of data, but they can't think for themselves, that they're supposed to help you solve problems, but half the time they are the problem. And as soon as you commit to one, you realize that if you had waited a little longer, you could have gotten a better model. So we fight, we argue, but we really need each other because everybody wants a great companion. That's just the truth. We really need to share our lives with others, and it's a struggle. Life is not easy, and people quit on each other in the struggle. In this group, I'm sure we have those who've been divorced. So people find something unbearable, and they feel like they don't believe time or love can change it, and so they simply quit. But even if they quit, they are always looking for someone else in which they can share their life with. So dating is a prerequisite to marriage, which is a covenant to do life together, no matter what happens. I was really sad when I saw a lot of the new marriage vows get rid of in sickness and in health, for better or for worse, good times and bad, until death parts us. So if I can have the next part, this is important because this is where relationships are going. Marriage is a covenant that was always designed to mirror the love between Christ and the church. Men were to be like Christ, women were to model the church. But love is an unconditional commitment to an imperfect person. It's an institution for sinners. It's a curriculum. Marriage is a curriculum of love and righteousness. It's a school in which you become like Christ. That's what the scriptures say. And that school brings tremendous freedom and love when it's learned correctly. The next point is marriage is not so much a cement. You think we're cementing ourselves together. It's really more of a solvent. It kind of frees people up to become themselves and help each other in the process of discovering what you're supposed to be doing in life and incorporating that image of God into your soul. So before I tell you how women think, I want to say, number one, there's a weak love. Weak love says, you make me feel good about myself. That's how love starts. It's super easy. Then there's this trial period where you ask the question, will you love me if you begin to see my weaknesses or my ugliness or my mistakes? And then there's the possibility of the really strong love, which comes with time because it's a love that heals. It just stays. It just stays through the weakness until you feel like you can come out of hiding and risk in the presence of this person that's really committed to you. They are going to be there. And when that happens, you can heal from past hurts. You can gain strength for the future because someone's just committed. And that's what it means to mirror when we talk about this covenant that mirrors this image of Christ. God's committed to us. He will not leave us, so whatever I do, I know he'll help me be strong. And so that's where we're trying to go in these relationships. So years ago, Mike Van Meter texted me, and he said, I want you to come and talk about what women want. And I'm looking at the text thinking, I really don't want to do that. Because what do women want? And women are complicated, and I didn't even want to work with women at that point. Most of my life, I worked in education. I managed, oversaw and started up junior high departments. Now you would say, oh, well, that gives you a good prerequisite to work with women. But women were complicated. But at that moment, I was going to text Mike and say, no, you do it. But I was sitting in our everyday moms group, and there were 30 women all around me, so I just said out loud, hey, everybody, Mike wants to know what women want. And the place erupted. I mean, but the things that they were saying were so good, I just started taking notes on my phone. And then when I went home, I thought, I'm just going to Facebook this real quick, see what happens. And then I completely forgot, didn't pay any attention. And somebody, a friend, called and said, hey, you need to check your Facebook. 120 responses. Never had a thing like that before. But as I'm reading through them all, everything fit into four categories. And the first two, number one from all these women was they wanted you to pursue them, okay? Number two was pursue God. And I think you can't do number one well without understanding number two and being good at it. So I'm going to talk about that one first, so to pursue God. So you, this is really important, you cannot meet in her a need that God, only God was intended to meet. So some are going to try to get from you what they can only get from God, and that's the confidence of being loved by God. The identity, the unconditional love that comes from God brings us security. You guys all know Neil, but we have a middle son who's moved away 20 years ago, Bryce. And at a certain point, he was in a relationship with a girl, had been in a relationship for 3 years. And he emailed me. Why didn't he call? I don't know. But he emailed, and he said, I think I'm in the first depression of my life. He's a very confident guy. And in this relationship, he was thinking that he needed to end it, and it was going to really destroy this girl because she really believed that it was moving toward marriage. And he said her need was just too great. She had been molested as a young woman, and he told me she can't trust God. So if you're in a relationship or dating a girl who has serious rejection, absent father issues, rape, molestation, and there's a lot of that. There's just a lot. Being in the church for 35 years, we're like counselors. Everyone comes to tell you. There's a lot. When that happens, those are our deep wounds. And wounds can heal through love. You know, marriage takes two imperfect people and it frees them up to love each other and begin to heal the past wounds. But sometimes it's just too heavy. Mark said one time that the answer in relationships is always more love. And so how you treat her can be a model, can really draw her to Christ. But if she will not give her life to Christ and thereby be filled by the Holy Spirit and let him inhabit her, you're not going to be able to fill that void. So I just want to say that up front. If you're not married, don't marry her yet. If you're out there dating, be careful who you date. It might end up too heavy for you. You really don't want it to end in divorce. If you are married, point her to Christ. Be patient. Get counseling because everything can heal. So you can't meet a need in her that God was intended, and she can't meet those needs in you either. Because apart from God, you're going to tend to be fearful, angry, and clueless to solutions. And you really need the most masculine man that ever lived to pattern your life after. So I just really encourage you to go to God with your confusions, your frustrations. He promises to guide and strengthen what is weak. So you can't give to others. I don't know what I wrote there. Okay, so you can't get it from her. But you guys have a tremendous anointing from God to guard and to guide and to protect. So that is a God-given strength for you to walk in. Before marriage, you guys took care of your own self. You had a tremendous amount of freedom. After marriage, this burden of responsibility comes. You've got a wife to lead, children to support. So that leads to you lose freedom according to the world. So you hesitate. The girl, though, she gets belonging, security, safety. So she tends to be in a hurry. Let's get this thing going. I'm going to get what I want. But the goal of the Lord is, like Jesus said, I'm among you as one who serves. And your servant leadership is growth in love, and it's a path out of selfishness. Selfishness never fails in the end. So if you hesitate out of wanting more freedom, it's not going to actually fill you in the end. But if you become that kind of servant that Jesus was, then you're going to find incredible strength and incredible respect from the women that are in your life. So in looking at men leading, we were having a women's leadership conference. And in this generation, women are not taught that men lead. And so I had asked the men, would you come as leaders and pray over the women during a certain part of this retreat? And they said, why? And I said, just to bless them. And if we're going to tell the women that the men are supposed to lead, then the women need to see them leading and love it. So if they're supposed to be the head of the family and the church, then they need to see that. So when the men came and they lined up right along here and the women just came forward, I said to the men, they can't talk. They don't get to talk or tell you what to say or tell you what to pray. You just bless them. And we put the men in teams of two because, you know, it's a little intimidating. Like, what are you supposed to say? I said, say the same thing to all the women. I don't care. Just bless them. And I was standing in the back, and something happened that none of us expected. The power of God came into the room, and all the women started weeping. They'd go up, and the men would pray for them, who didn't feel super confident to pray for them. And the women were crying. They're leaving and crying and going back to their chairs. Woman after woman, I was standing in the back, came to me and said, I've never had a man pray for me. And I thought, you haven't. I mean, I had a good father, I had a good husband, I had good brothers. I thought, no one's ever prayed for you. And then I thought, it went pretty quickly. I thought, well, I'll just go up and get prayer. And Dan and Kevin Miller were over here as a team. I felt great, felt fine, went over to do the thing I told everyone else to do, and immediately felt the power of God come, and I just started crying. My need was not great in that moment, but I recognized this anointing that shocked all of us. So you have an anointing that, whether you feel it or not, it's God-given. So we started to do that for every single women's retreat now, and it is one of the most powerful times that women ask for again and again. Because if she didn't get a blessing from her father, your kindness, your gentleness can utterly change her. And she starts to see herself different and begins to act with a new confidence and a strength because of the anointing that you have. So you need to be a model. You need to model the pursuit of God in your life. Model it to her. Not be a responder of her pursuit. A lot of times men get drawn into the church because that girl's really pretty and she goes to church. And so you're drawn in and you respond to her pursuit. But women really need it. It really delights a woman to see a man read the Bible, pray over his children, get them up for church, pray over a meal, really just simple things. And so I'm going to give you some quotes throughout this of what our women said about this. So remember, I'm telling you what they said. So one was, a man who loves Jesus first and makes the pursuit of following him his top priority, Everything else will fall into place if that's the foundation. Also, flowers and chocolates are nice. Lots of chocolate. And another said, if we could have just sought God together, I know it would have changed our views and how we treated each other. So when you pursue God, you're able to respond to her in a more mature and strong way. So we need to see you pursue God. But number one, they said, is pursue me. And that's what those bags are about, which I'm going to explain in a minute. So women are just relational at heart. They want to connect everyone. They want to connect dads with kids, and they want to be connected to you. It's all very, very important. So they say, I need to feel cherished and loved and valued. So some of the quotes. I want to feel like your sweetheart before marriage, he did all these sweet things, and then after marriage, he just stopped. Now, I know you guys got exhausted. You probably used up all of the resources that you had. You don't know what to do anymore, and that's why I'm going to help you with those resource bags. Another said, loving God and leadership are so important and foundational, but when he surprises me at work with a coffee or brings flowers home with him or surprises me at home, I feel so special. They aren't little things to me. They're big things that help create a breeding ground for intimacy and respect. She said, at least it does for me. And I'm just picking of the quotes that I had, the ones that really summarize what everybody was saying. And this other one, this next one, this is really actually a powerful thing. On the next slide, it says, I would say it's being intentional to speak my love language and making the effort to treat me romantically with compliments and dates. And I just want to tell you something you could do that would make a huge impact in your significant other. So there's a website called 5lovelanguages.com. This takes 5 minutes. If you said to your sweetheart, I would really like you, honey, to take this test. First of all, they'd be shocked. You want to understand me better? This is really cool. It might lead to something later on. So it says that there's 5 basic ways in which people really feel loved or understood. Acts of service, physical touch, words of affirmation, quality time, or gifts. So if you told her, go do this, take this so I can understand. You don't want to give a bunch of gifts, which she goes, oh, thanks, that's nice. And you think, really? I worked really hard for that. When what she really wants is to hold your hand on a regular basis more than you do. So just find out. Don't guess. Just go find out. So that's important. The next thing is that women have this ongoing insecurity about your love. They kind of feel like they'll never be enough. Like your ongoing insecurity as men will be, am I competent? Am I able to complete the task at hand? Do people need me? Hers is, am I lovable? So oftentimes it's like a warning. The thing she does is like a warning sign on a dashboard like this. Her emotional reserves are getting depleted and she'll suddenly be angry or silent, or say something you think, what the heck, what just happened? I have no idea what just happened. Well, her reserves, her love reserves are going down. Mark comes home one day, and I'm very quiet, and he says, what's wrong? And I said, well, I didn't marry you to have kids to stay home and never see you. And he's just completely baffled. He's thinking, I wake up next to you, I work for you all day, I take care of the cars, I wrestle with the boys. He was finishing school, starting a church, he was working for us all the time. And yet here was this insecurity because he wasn't around. And he doesn't know what to do. So we decided we would have a date night once a week, if possible. You know, there's always problems that come in. But this solved an insecurity in me. I want to be alone with you and feel like your sweetheart. So that is one way that he wanted it, and I knew a time of connection was coming no matter what happened during the week. He'd come home late, another meeting that night, all those kinds of things that was making my empty sign go on. Another thing with women is if there's conflict or anger, okay? One woman said, a lot of desperate feelings surface for me when I feel like my husband's displeased with me. I'm a pretty independent person, but it affects me all day long. Now, you guys have boxes, I understand. You just put it in the box, like, okay, she has a problem, she'll work it out, I'm going to work, right? You go to work, you haven't thought about it. Now you're coming home, oh yeah, I probably should take that box out and now think about, you know, or hopefully, like you do with other guys, you just give him space. Like, he needs space to think, and then he's going to come and tell me what the issue is. Women aren't really like that. So our brains are connected. We're thinking all day long about our relationships. Women aren't as much gossips as you think they are. We talk about each other because we're very concerned about each other. If I go to you, I want to know, how's your wife? How's your children? If two men get together, they may not even know that they're married or have children. They're talking about something else. But women are always thinking about the relationships, and you guys say, well, you guys always gossip. No, I'm really interested on how everyone's doing in your family. So when there's a conflict with the one that you love, she becomes preoccupied with getting the relationship back on track, and all of a sudden she wants to talk about the relationship. At times when you're thinking, do we really have to talk about the relationship again? You know, but that's what happens inside of her. I'm going to talk about this until I can feel peace again and be at peace. Another issue, very briefly, is that what I find all the time is as soon as a woman gets married here, within 6 months, she's coming to me because she has found her husband on porn. So porn kills trust, and it really breeds fear. And she says, I know you say it's not really about me, but it really hurts and it scares me. And it brings up this ongoing insecurity that I am not enough, I'll never be truly cherished, and that he really has to go somewhere else. So when you're unfaithful with your mind or your eyes, you may be completely faithful in real life, but this deep insecurity comes into her foundation because you are God's representatives to us. And a faithful lover has tremendous power in a relationship. And if you say, it's no big deal, I plan to do this, it's not about her, then do it for your children's sake. Shut that door, because when you open that door, you know, it talks about the sins of the fathers visited on the children. If you open that door is open from the enemy for your children. And we have seen many, many times in the church where a father opened a door he would not shut, and then son after son after son then opened that same door, and it became a serious issue in relationships for the future. So don't give a foothold to the enemy. Next thing the girl said was, be kind and tender. So, you know, men don't need holding as much as women do. When I was first married, I was so upset when Mark would leave the house without kissing me. Well, his parents didn't kiss when his father left. Mine did. And so I'm sitting in the background thinking, he should have kissed me. Like, now, did I say it? No, I didn't say it because, first of all, it's hard to ask. Women find it sometimes just hard to ask because I'm thinking, if he loved me, he would just know, right? So you have to tell her. She thinks you should know. And you have to say, well, I can't know if you don't tell me. So the minute I told Mark, I need a kiss when you leave and when you come home. It's like never stopped. He was always good. He was great about that. Also, I tell him, I realize men don't need hugs as much as women in general. And can I just say the 80-20 principle here? This works for 80% of the women. 20% of you will have someone quite different, okay? So if that's the truth, then you're going to have to figure out with her, just talk. What do you need? What do you like? But I'm telling you, for the 80%, this is gospel truth. One of the things that Mark does is when I say, I need a hug, he never comes up to me and says, I need a hug. It's not, he needs other things. I say, I need a hug. When he holds me and when I'm done and I start to let go, he holds me just a little bit longer. And that says something significant. Like, I like this and I want you. That was a big deal. I don't know when he started doing that or why, but it was really good. And the scriptures say what makes a man desirable is his kindness. You just learn to be kind. Don't respond in kind to the immaturity in the wife. I was immature in so many different ways, and Mark tended to be far more mature caused me to see my ugliness in abundance when he acted more mature than I did. Next thing they said is pray for me or over me, even if it feels uncomfortable at first. A lot of men say, I don't know what to say. I just don't know what to say. Well, even if you're shy, just bless her day. Say, Lord, thank you for Courtney. She's such a good mom. Help her with the constant demands of the kids. Lord, I just thank you for my wife. She's cooked. You know, Mark said one time, he said, I love you. And I said, why? He said, because you cook for me. And I started laughing. I said, no, really? And he says, really? I said, no, really? And I realized it sent a message. I was waiting for him, looking forward to him coming home. Something was hot. It wasn't just meeting a need. It was an act of love. So pray over them. It'll do amazing things for your intimacy. And just ask God for the right words and make it short. If she says that wasn't long enough, I've never known a woman to say that wasn't long enough or that wasn't good enough. So, and then this one, make time to talk to me. To make time every day to talk to each other with no other distractions, even for 5 minutes. No phone, no TV, no kids. Women really love it when you listen. So how do you do this? Can I have the next pictures? Without dying while she talks too long. Okay, so you have to teach her about men's listening limitations. All right, I know that we women have far more words. So Mark would say to me, can you give me the bottom line up front? He said, it really, really helps me. I said, okay, looks like we're going to need a new engine. Like he said, when you say that, I'm all ears. I really do want to know all the details at that point. So I had to learn as a woman not to start with, and then I got in the car and the kids did this, and I went over there, and then I got a phone call, and you guys are already starting to shut down. Women don't know that in the beginning. They just think, and we talk all over the place. We talk in circles and eventually solve all the problems. It wasn't until I was involved in our staff pastor's our staff meeting, where the men, they would talk on a subject. Then they would look around and go, is that it? Is everyone good? And they'd go to the next. And I thought, I didn't know this is how men talk. David was our youth pastor, and one day he had to solve an issue with a bunch of women, and I went with him. And when we got in there, I know that women need to be heard. Once they're heard, they'll become rational. Until they're heard, they tend to be irrational. They want to tell you what they think and feel. So we're in there, and these women are just talking, and David says, stop it, we haven't solved one problem yet. And I burst out laughing because I knew we were going to solve it. But they had to have that period of time of talking about what they felt, right? So it's just a difference in us. But you can tell her about your limitations. Like Mark told me at a certain point, men are different from women, honey. You need to go over the detail in depth with your girlfriends. That's why you need a best friend. But you need to summarize the points for your husband. Now, he didn't say that while we were in the midst of an argument. He took the time later when there was no issue to talk about what would help us communicate. Because the fact was, we both eventually loved our times talking together. We have a great time now. Everybody wants that, but we both have to talk about how that works for each of us. You have to listen a little longer, and she has to summarize her points. And the last part about pursue me we're going to talk for a minute about is this incredibly important area that everyone feels uncomfortable talking about out loud, and that's sex. Because love brings intimacy, and both the male and the female really desire closeness here. And if that's the truth, you're going to say to me, well then, why does she rarely initiate it? Says she's enjoying it, or that she enjoys it, but doesn't seem to think about it very often, or says she doesn't feel close enough for sex, when you say, wouldn't that make us closer? These are things that happen as relationships go on. So when most women avoid their husband's advances, it really doesn't have a lot to do with his desirability. It has to do with these important truths. These just facts. Number one, she has a lower sex drive, actual lower hormone levels than you, and she would change it if she could. There's no blue pill for women. I'm just going to tell you that. Most women are not as physically wired to crave sex as men, but they enjoy it just as much. But because of that one silly fact, they're less likely to initiate. Number two, she needs more warm-up time than you do. So if she's running after kids, cooking all day, cleaning, it takes a while to get her mind there. Her mind doesn't turn on a dime or a suggestion. Hey, honey. It's like, wait. It's like we have these 10 computer windows open, all of these pop-ups that are begging for our attention, and those windows have to start getting closed down. So when a woman says, I love to see a man do the dishes, all you're doing is closing a window for her. You're closing a window so that you can shift her mind into the area that you want it to go. Next point, they aren't nearly as visual as men. So your body is not going to get, by itself, get her where you want her to go quickly. You know, she may love your looks, but intimacy doesn't start there for her. So intimacy starts in her heart, the closeness outside of the bedroom. So her body's ability to respond to you is going to be tied up with how she emotionally feels about you at that moment. She may love you, but her mind's just somewhere else. So how you treated her that morning matters. You think, what? I forgot to kiss you? This is what this is about, that I walked out the door? It's not really keeping score. It's just that the feelings are always there. So one woman said, my power to turn you on is how I look, but where you have power is how you treated me today. It's emotional. Next point, she wants pleasure as much as you do, but if it usually doesn't happen for her, she's going to become reluctant. So you have to learn to ask questions, even if she's shy. Show love and connection by seeking out a professional. If there's sexual trauma in the past, it causes problems in intimacy for a woman. And if you, men do not like to go to counselors, but sometimes you do it for her sake. You just say, I love you, I want to connect with you, and there seems to be a block here. Let's go together. Find a man. Don't go to a woman. I tell women all the time, look, if you want your man to go to counseling with you, go to a man. He's going to be much more open to that than some woman who's just going to take your side against him. So those are just facts about women and sex. They can love it, but these are some of the things they have to deal with that are good for you guys to be aware of. So, what do you do? That's where this reservoir kit comes in. She's going to need warm-up time, flirting, anticipation. You could text her that morning about what you're thinking about might happen that night, or pursue her in a way that she's desirable to you outside of the bedroom. They want to be romantically pursued. It's as strong as a man's sex drive. Just eye-to-eye contact across the room. You recognize she's there, and that makes you happy. You smile, wink at her, cuddle and talk for a while. Say something kind every day. So grab your reservoir bag. I just want to show you what we put together for you. This is a whole group of women got together, and they made this super easy for you. In fact, I want to tell you, so what it tells here, we give you a list of dates, date ideas around town, okay? All different kinds of things. Take a walk, lake beach, late afternoon while the sun sets. Fly a kite over Michigan. We just gave you a huge amount of actual dates around town. The other side is dates at home. Play a game together. Complete a do-it-yourself project. Share memories. Send your spouse a song that reminds you of them. Do some workout together. Share a bottle of wine over a good movie. So we gave you ideas right here, and then we gave you a note, a sticky note with text. So this whole package of sticky notes is where you can put them, on her mirror, on her coffee cup, on the coffee maker, on her nightstand, on the dishwasher. You just make a note. So take a look really quick. This is super simple. This one says, I found this cornflake for you. Love, Joel. The other one says, that thing we did. Let's do it again. You're the most beautiful girl in the world. Show the next one. These are just a couple. This how simple. Dear you, this is my love note. This means I love you. Love me. You really don't have to be that eloquent. I love you, Bob. Happy Valentine's Day. On the toilet paper roll. You are my happy place. So what we did is we made the list here for you of what to say. We gave you the sticky notes. We also gave you a paint pen. Paint pens. See, this just says to women, he is thinking about me. That's a big deal. That connection outside the bedroom leads to the bedroom. So one guy took the sticky note and wrote a note on his wife's mirror. It's been there for 5 years. She won't take it off. And he's in his late 40s. She will not take it off. I asked him the other day, he's here at church. He was shocked. Like, aren't you going to take that down? She goes, are you kidding? That's up there forever. You think, we've been married 20 years. Another guy wrote on his wife's window to her car, can't wait to see you tonight. Now, maybe he didn't even really feel like that, but he said it because he wants to feel that way. She would not take it off her car. They started Instagramming. The first time I taught this, the women started sending Instagram and Facebook posts of what their husbands did, and the husband's thinking, was it really that big of a deal? It is to her. So we gave you a little kit, and again, we gave you some little cards. I always tell men, go buy 10 cards at one time and stick them somewhere and just write something small and short. So we gave you a whole bunch of things in there to help just show her that she's loved, that she's wanted. Something kind each day, feeling or no feeling. You know, Mark was always, just to say, you know, thank you for dinner. Mark has always been so grateful for food and for dinner and leftovers. So one night, dinner's on the table, it's just all leftovers. Mark goes, I want to pray. The kids were kind of little. And I'm thinking, fine, pray, right? He goes, well, everybody, join hands. So we join hands. I'm thinking, gosh, he's awfully grateful for leftovers. And he said, Lord, we're not going to thank you for this meal because we thanked you for it last night. But we thank you for the refrigerator that kept it cold and the microwave that heated it up. So women really want to be surprised, like when you dated, not all the time, not every day, but it's to your advantage to show this kind of love. It just says, I'm thinking about you. And then it's preparation for the intimacy that you guys are looking for. So those are the two big categories. The next two categories, the next one was to simply lead the way. All right. You don't have to initiate every action, but take the responsibility to provide a general pattern of initiative. One time Mark and I went to pray over a husband and wife that were in despair. Both of them were really depressed in their life and in their relationship. And their roles were sort of reversed. She worked full-time. They had their first grandchild. She was trying to take care of their grandchild. He was an enthusiastic Christian, but honestly never worked for more than 6 months at any job because he was always doing ministry. So as we began to pray for this couple, I saw this picture. Both of them were leaned over like this. And on her back was this gigantic burden. It was just heavy. And in the vision, I saw it lift from her and go on to him. And when it went on to him, they both stood up. And it was really significant to me. I realized that burden was his to carry that would give him strength. And he was letting her carry it, but it was too heavy for her, and it was significantly breaking down their relationship. So we really do want you to lead, even if we fight you for it. And that's true. We can be very feisty, we can want our way, and we can know that our way is the best way. So we still want your leadership. I don't know any strong woman that doesn't want a strong man. So a good leader doesn't presume superiority, but he mobilizes the strengths of those around him. Like, I direct women's ministries. I am not the strongest, the smartest, the most anything. I just help them find their gift and lead them to the area that they're going to be most productive in. That's a good leader. So recognize the gifts in your wife. Like with bills, I pay the bills. I organize it. Didn't want to do it, but I'm really good at organization. When he says, we need this for taxes, I know exactly where it is. One day I pushed it all over to him and said, you have to do it. You have to do it. I can't do it anymore. He said, why not? And that, because the pressure of there not being enough money for so long was so heavy, I just couldn't handle it. And he said, look, I can sit here with you, but you're way better manager. And he said, if we don't have enough money, just say, we need $1,000 by Friday. And if I get upset, Mark said, if I get upset, you just say, you'll think of something. And that took the pressure off me because he could wield that pressure better. But I was the better manager of the deal. So, you know, if you have a situation where you have a girlfriend or a wife that just fights with you a lot on this area, Jim Dealing is actually teaching a class right now, and we'll meet with anyone, called Masculine Virtues, which is really how to lead a woman in the way she needs to be led, even if she doesn't recognize. Because we live in a culture right now that says, you do not get to be the leader, it's our turn. And it's just wrong. And no woman's really going to end up happy in that situation. I've had more powerful women come into my office and cry and weep because their relationship with their husband was out of order, and it was their fault, and they had to change, but they wanted a strong leader. So the other part of this leading the way is that women want security about the future more than men. 65% of college graduates are now women, and it's all about security. I want to know where the money's coming from. So we need you guys to talk to us about your plans. They're going to ask. I said all the time to Mark, what's the plan? What's the plan? About money, a home, about kids. And I forgot that he was learning too. He said, if you don't have the answer, but I'm supposed to have the answer about every situation, how come you can't know, but I'm supposed to know? I thought, oh, that kind of puts it into perspective. He said, why don't you pray for me? Well, we had... Let me just show you this quote real quick. This woman said, help me help you. Knowing what it takes to lead and the length of his days, I recognize some days he's more spent than others, and I need to know when he needs breathing room, because at the end of the day, reading minds is not a standard issue part. We have to talk, and hopefully in maturity, you can talk without anger, frustration, and accusation. That always breaks everything down. So, let me just give you something that made it really clear to me. Mark and I lived in a granny flat. The kids were like 2 and 3, or actually even younger than that, our first two. And we had to move out, and we had no money to move out. And so we sat and we prayed together, but there was no solution. There wasn't an answer. So then Mark said, let's go to bed. And he went to the bedroom, and I stayed on the couch. And he called in a few minutes. He says, are you coming to bed? And I said, no. And he said, are you going to stay up and worry? And I said, well, someone has to. And he came and leaned in the door, and he says, you know what hurts more than not being able to provide for my family? It's a wife who doesn't believe in me. And he turned around and went back. And I thought, why did I do that? I was immature. I didn't know. He didn't say, hey, honey, this is my job. I'm supposed to come up with a solution. You take care of the kids, pray for me, and we'll figure this out. If he'd said that, I would have gone, oh, okay, he's going to take the lead on that. But we were just immature. We were learning this out. So tell them what your job is. Ask them to pray for you, and God will give you ideas. We are very close to the end here. So security... they need security about the future. They also need financial security. They want to know that things are going to be provided for. And there's kind of two points, briefly, just that you're going to have to keep in balance here. Mark said at one point, no woman wants to get in the car with you and drive around in circles till you run out of gas. So if you don't make enough money, have a plan. Get some education. A lot of women are willing to live on less with the hope that there'll be more stability in the future. But let me show you another thing. If I can have the... men often believe that longer hours are more love, that's what they're showing. They're going to work harder, longer hours. But the question is, are you providing this, the kind of security she really wants or needs? So you see a big house, and you see a much smaller house. And I'm just going to read you this thing this young man wrote. It says, "When I was little, we lived in a small house in a neighborhood that wasn't great, but we loved our life. Dad was happy, and when he'd get home from work, we'd play. He was so much fun to be around. But when I turned 11, Dad wanted to provide a better future. So he decided to have a special house built outside the city. We didn't have tons of money, so he did a lot of work himself, and he said we were worth it. But he didn't realize what all the extra stress and pressure would do to all of us, and it began to wear my dad down, and we lost Happy Dad. We got Grumpy Dad instead. He stopped playing with us so much and seemed on edge a lot, not relaxed or fun. We know he sacrificed himself for our sake, but we wanted him more than we wanted the new house or the better school. We just wanted Happy Dad back." So these are two points that you're just going to have to keep in balance along the way, because security really isn't all about what you earn. It's about who you are and how you love in the life of a woman. A lot of women would be willing to give up more things for more of you. And our last point, very last point, that they said again and again and again was, what women want was for you to be involved with your children. Again, it's relational. They want everybody to be connected and love each other. So they said, help me with them. I love to see you love them. One of the quotes was, "I know you're working all the time for us and you're a great provider, but we really want some of your time too. So big deal is pay attention when you get home from work. And stop somewhere and rest and unload if you need to. Hopefully not a bar, but you might need to find a place where you just have 20 minutes or 30 minutes to yourself. Because you know when you open that door, they are going to bombard you because they like you. They want you. I mean, she's probably going to hand the kid to you and say, there, it's your turn, right? So, grab your wife. If you got a bunch of kids right now, grab your wife and say, hey, you've had her all day. The next 5 minutes are mine. And take her into another room. Just be with her. Play Candyland with the kids for 15 minutes. I know anyone who's played Candyland, you just grimace, you know. But they just want you. They love you. And be the calming force, okay? One time Mark comes home and he goes, where are my cherubs? And I was so angry. I said, they're not cherubs. They are brats. And just began to unload on Mark. And Mark said, well, we need to pray. I said, we do not need to pray. You need to spank them and just put them in bed and be done for the night. And he said, no, I really think we should pray. I said, fine, you pray. You know, and he said, no, I want you to sit with me. We're going to pray. And I said, you're crazy. I don't want to pray. He goes, please pray with me. So I sit down, he grabs my hand, I wouldn't even shut my eyes. I said, fine, you pray. So he starts to pray, Lord, we need help. We are so confused. I'm thinking, I'm not confused. I'm not confused. You might need help. And he says, we need help. We don't know what to do. This is serious. And I'm just staring at him. He goes, Lord, which kid do we give away first? And it just broke the tension. It took the edge off. It brought clarity. And it acknowledged my frustration also. So be the calming force and take the initiative in disciplining the children when both parents are present. Sometimes it's really easy to let her do it. You're better than me at it. But Proverbs 1:8 says, hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. It says fathers first. They're expecting, God expects you. So if she has all these great ideas, books she's read, you can tell her, summarize the book for me, honey. I want to learn what you've learned, but I also have this other job over here. She wants to be the best mom with the kids. So she's going to correct you. Anyone ever been corrected about their children? Okay, so you can tell her, you do it your way, I do it mine. If you really want my help, then stop correcting me on my way. In fact, we're going to see a very short video here about dads do it their own way.
Dads, we do things a little bit differently. I've been a dad 36 years. I've done things differently. For instance, traveling can be pretty exciting for a kid. Kids love it. Oh, God, we gotta go. If mom takes the kid to the airport, oh, she's gonna let him ride on the escalator, point out the planes, watch the planes take off, stop in the shops. Dad is just about business. That's it. He just wants to get where he's going. He needs to get there now. The fact that you don't feel like walking through the airport can't stop him from the task at hand. Here's a video of a dad traveling with his daughter. I ain't gotta say nothing. Here it is. Now, you may think this is just one dad that does this. This is something we do. We got to go. How do you explain a different dad at a grocery store? This is a grocery store. Take a look. I've been there with my kids. I don't feel like walking. Okay, where we going, though? How do you explain this dad with two kids at the mall? Just two kids. Roll the tape.
So sometimes you're just gonna have to tell her, you do it your way, I do it mine. Give me some space here if you want my help. So we're gonna just finish with one last thing. This is stats on men's influence. This was a survey from Switzerland, which was really telling. Switzerland is not America. It's very, not very churched at all. But they had the survey to determine whether a person's religion carried through to the next generation. And they just said this in a nutshell. If both were regular attendees of church, 38% of the kids were regular. If mom was, but dad was not, 3% of the kids were regular. If dad was, but mom was not, 33 to 38% of the kids were regular. That's really telling about a father's influence. So the critical factor was the religious practice of the father. So you can't buck the biology of the created order. A mother's role is going to remain primary in terms of nurture, care, that kind of thing. But when a child begins to move outside the home, again and again, they increasingly look for the father's role in their lives. So I just, in summary, would say this. Don't abdicate by just becoming passive. You know, if women, I heard a man say, if women want to control so bad, let them have it. We'll go fishing and they can run the world. It's not an easy job. They'll see how hard it is. But we'll never be able to do your divine task as well as you. And also don't dominate by selfishness or laziness. Love us, cherish us, tell us, and be a strong, tender servant. And honestly, most women will follow you anywhere. And that is it. Any quick questions that you want answered?
I got one I was thinking. It's kind of hard when you're married to a Hispanic woman that's raised old school Hispanic traditions, where the mothers always ran the house. Then you find out later on in life that she's just like her mother. And she's a pastor, and sometimes it ain't easy. My wife is the leader of the family. But I mean, I do my part too. I work and all that stuff right there, but.
Well, women can have a model from growing up. And unfortunately, you guys are in a generation right now where there's been an awful lot of people raised without fathers in the home. And they don't know a model of a father's leadership. That's the truth. Well, and a culture can be a certain way. And a woman can be determined. Good. So I would say go to Jim's Masculine Virtues, because he's going to teach you how to deal with strong-willed women who know that their way is right. Because, and I'll just say that you can get to a certain point in life. And I say this all the time. Honestly, after about 50, People don't change much. They've made their decision. They want what they want. They're going to go down that road and either reap rewards or relational breakdowns because they're going to do what they do. Increasingly, I look and I think, do I want to deal with this woman who's 60 who won't change? Or do I want to deal with a 35-year-old who has the, at least has the ability? So people kind of mark themselves. Servants of Christ are always willing to change to say, wow, I still do that? So if God called men to lead, men should lead. Doesn't matter that a woman says, I don't want you to. She really does in her heart of hearts, unless she is not a good woman. I know your wife is a good woman. And Jim can help you work on turning that situation around. Okay? Okay, I think I need to let you go, but I'm going to stay up here if anybody needs to ask a specific question. And I hope your reservoir bags give good results for you. God bless you guys.